Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Susanna Constantine, and this is my wardrobe malfunction, where we start talking about clothes and usually stray wildly off-piste into all sorts of fascinating areas. This is our 11th Zoom episode, recorded in lockdown in June 2020. You can also find it as a video version on our website at mywardmel.com. That's where our pyjama party is happening too. Please do email your stories to us at help@mywardmel.com. Finally, please subscribe, give us obviously a 5-star review, and follow us on the usual socials at mywardmel. Right, what can I tell you about this episode? It's with Queen of the Jungle, broadcaster, author, and ray of joy, Georgia Toffolow, known to everyone as Toff, and she's a true gem. So, let's grab the handles, open my wardrobe doors, and find out what's inside. Goodness, this is the person I need to see today. And this person is it Georgia? I only know you as Toff. Is it Georgia Toffolow?
Yeah, Georgia Toffolow. Everyone just thinks my first name's Toff, so go with it.
I know, you have become a one-word person. That is quite legendary.
What, like Beyonce?
Yeah, like Beyonce. Or Prince. So,
I'm like the really low-end Z-list version.
And then we got Toff. And I have to say, I'm just so happy to see you because you have, you know, from what I've seen of you on TV, and we all, you know, my kids watch Made in Chelsea obsessively, and I'm like kind of dragged into it, and then I started to really enjoy it. Mm. And every time you appeared, I felt joy. Oh, and you have that effect on people, and I'm feeling, I woke up this morning just feeling really like, down actually, and I just thought, oh, thank God I'm going to be chatting to Toffolow, because if anyone can cheer me up, it's going to be you.
You are divine, thank you. I've been very excited too.
Oh, my sweetheart. So, how's it all been? I mean, how have you kept your pepper up?
God, it's been weird. I got a puppy about a month before this all happened, so he's got me through. He actually kept me up all night. He hasn't been very well. It's the first time. He's been a bit unwell, so I had the vet out last night. He seems to be all right. Earwigging on our conversation. But yeah, so I think without my doggy, I don't know what I would have done, to be honest. Gives me purpose.
What make is he?
Oh, God knows. He's meant to be a King Charles Cavalier, but he's got supermodel long legs. Yeah. And his snout is quite long. And he's so athletic. So I think he might be crossed with a Cocker Spaniel, but I quite like that. I don't know. But I swabbed his cheek a couple of weeks ago and it's been sent off to Denmark. So I'm going to know next week.
What, to see if he's got COVID?
No, to see what breed he is.
Oh, I can't believe you've actually done that, Toff.
I know, because I've been embracing not knowing. And actually, when I'm in the park and I'm trying to say that it's a King Charles Cavalier, I'm sick of everyone looking at me like I'm mad. Yeah. So I'm going to say, look, it's written down in black and white.
Your bedroom is so gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. I've actually, because I didn't wake up that long ago, I just threw everything off the side of the bed like I used to at boarding school, so no one can see it. But yeah, it's lovely. Thank you. Yeah. I like it.
Oh, it's gorgeous. In your past, have you had moments when you struggled? Because you have this persona of being incredibly sweet, upbeat. But have you always been like that?
Yeah, my nature is very, you know, I am very positive. I think the one thing that, you know, looking back, the one thing that really has kind of plagued my confidence and my positivity is my skin. I've really struggled with acne for a really long time.
Really?
I think, yeah, it's been
You're
really
kidding.
Struggled.
Come close to the...
So I've had a bit of a breakout. I put my makeup really badly. I was in a bit of a rush.
You got up 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, so here and here. God, but it moves. Yeah, it's weird. I kind of thought that, you know, now that I'm 25, I probably should have got rid of it and it should have just gone away, but it just always comes back. I think it started when I was on Made in Chelsea. I became a pro at covering up. So no one, and not even, you know, just with makeup, it was the way that I style my hair, the way that I do the camera angles, like all of that. And then when I went in the jungle, as I know you know, you just have to be yourself. And it was quite a journey for me to be like, right, you know what, sod it. I've got a few spots. People won't like me any less.
Exactly.
But yeah, so that's really the one thing that gets me down. It used to be terrible. And I used to not want to do any work and not want to go outside the house. And now I just think, well, everyone knows I've got a few spots, so whatever.
So what? But did you ever get bullied for it?
Yeah, I did quite badly when I was 13. But then my parents were really good. They moved me very quickly. And then I was really, really happy at the next school. No one really said anything.
Trini had the same thing. She was playing for Hattie. And
yes.
It really, and as a consequence for her, it was like this obsession with her skin and doing everything she possibly could. And I'll never forget, she did this laser treatment. And she came, I came into work one morning and she looked like the towering inferno. I mean, I was so heartbroken that she felt she had to go to that, though her insecurity was so huge that she had to go to those lengths.
Yeah, but I understand it because it's on your face, and particularly with what you and Trini were doing, you know, your face is always there and everyone's always looking at it. And I think, you know, it's not like having something, I don't know, on your arms, you can cover it up, but you can't cover up this. So I do get that.
Yeah. It doesn't matter how beautiful you are or how beautiful consider someone else to be, that is, you know, they will have their own insecurities.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So, my love, you have, with clothes, you have quite a sort of girlish, gamine style.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
God, I have no idea. I don't know. I've always kind of worn the same thing for about 10 years. And I think it's like, my friends describe it as a bit granny chic.
No. You know,
yeah, it is a little bit. Some things I wear are quite like fun and flirty, but, you know, maybe you could see a granny wearing them. Yeah. And I have got quite a strong identity with my clothes. But like, I do really mix it up. So I can wear like a little, I put a little crop top on now, maybe. And a little like,
good tits, hat. Yeah.
I can wear that. Yeah. And then I can wear, you know, like a Zara tweed two-piece, like very Chanel vibes, and kind of pull both off. Mm-hmm. Very girly and feminine.
Yeah, which I think that suits your personality. Because what I love about you and the way you do dress is that you don't particularly follow fashion.
Yeah, completely.
You dress for you. I think you, and get me, I'm presuming here, but I think you're the kind of person who wakes up in the morning and you dress on your emotions. You dress to make yourself feel better if you wake up feeling shit.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. It's really not trend-led. You nailed it there. You know, I shy away from trends. I just think, you know, good skinny jean, a good flare. I know what works. Little mini skirts, little nipped-in cardies, and my Chanel Valley pumps. You know, it works. Mm. And I will probably wear that forever. I hope so.
Yeah. So do you always put, do you mix kind of designer and high street?
Yeah, I mean, mostly high street, if I'm honest. But I've got a few pieces. I think I've just started getting a really lovely handbag collection together, and I have to really stop myself because I love shopping. And I think I get a lot more bang for my buck with buying handbags, not clothes, because I'm quite petite and all the high street brands fit me really well. So I don't need to spend that much money on the clothes.
Yeah.
But I love mixing.
Yeah, and I think also when you're young, you don't have to spend money on clothes. And I think you're absolutely right, because by buying really beautiful accessories, they are an investment. You're always going to be able to use them. Yes. And clothes at your age and with your gorgeous figure, doesn't matter what you wear, it's going to look good.
Yeah, so, if I look hard enough, there's always something. I just love falling through.
Like me, I buy less, but what I buy is much more expensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you have anything, you know, on your insecure days, Toph, do you have anything like sort of security blanket? I bet you do. I bet you have something which keeps you cozy, makes you feel kind of embraced and warm.
Yeah, I think one for me, I mean, so I've got like in the summer, you know, if you're feeling a bit, I don't know, time of month or whatever, and I want to cover up, but I want to feel really lovely. And yeah. It's like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like a kimono thing, but really fitted. Long sleeves, and I wear a little pair of denim shorts or a pair of jeans underneath, and it will go down right to my ankle. Mm. And that shape really elongates me because I'm little. Yeah. And I love being around in it. And then for the winter, I've got a cashmere version. So it's a little bit, it's not as tight fitting, but it's cream. It's from N. Peel. And it just covers up everything and lengthens me. And I think those two are the security blankets that I do just keep on going back to.
Yeah. How tall are you?
I've 3.
Oh, okay. You are cute. Yeah. And what size are you? Like a 6?
Yeah, I'm a 6 here. And then I'm an 8 around my bottom.
Okay. Okay. So what shape would you say you were?
Stand up. Let me have a look.
I don't know whether... Oh, I'm mortified. I've got on my leggings.
That's all right. Me too. Look.
I love it. Bottom. Yeah, we've got on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I do go out there.
Not really. God, you've got such a good arse.
Oh, thank you. You say, put on a bit of weight recently, but I'm liking it.
But do you work out a lot?
No. I should really. I was really, really athletic. When I was younger, when I first moved to London when I was 18, I was fit as a fiddle and I was very boyish. You know, didn't have any tits, really. Straight down. And then I think, you know, I started going out, like, I just had pizza for breakfast, stuff like that. And actually, it's quite nice to feel a bit more womanly now.
Yeah. You've got a great figure, absolute perfection.
Thank you.
Just perfection. And my love, so when you started Maiden Chelsea, you basically went from zero to becoming very well known. And for someone of your age, how old were you? Like 22?
No, I was 18.
Shit, were you really?
Yeah, it was a couple of months before my 19th birthday. I was really young. I was the youngest by a long way.
How did you cope with that sudden phase?
I don't know. I was mortified because it really wasn't part of the plan. I moved up to London from Devon and Dad said to me, you've got to go and get a bloody job. You know, don't be lazy. This is the plan. You've chosen to take your gap year in London. Go and work. And I started
nanny. You chose your gap year in London.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
I know. I just didn't want to go.
Whoa.
Yeah. I just really wanted to be in London because I come from a small town in Devon.
But that's so, can I just quickly say, sorry to interrupt. Mate, I've just written another novel, second novel, and it is... It's like it's your story. This is so weird. She moved from Scotland, this girl, Esme, she moves from Scotland and goes to London and does exactly what you're doing. I'm going to send it to you. Carry on. Please do.
I would love to read that.
Yeah.
Yes, so I moved up and then I was nannying and I thought, well, I need to earn a bit more money. And they asked me to go on Maiden Chelsea. And I was meant to be going.
How did they find you? How did they find you?
I was just on the scene. I was like a little bright young spark going to raffles and 151. And I think they thought, well, she'll do for an episode. And it just worked. And I really enjoyed it. And I, in the back of my mind, I didn't really tell my parents until the week before because there was a 6-week delay between filming and it going on the telly. And my parents were like, what on earth have you done? You're never going to have your career that you've worked so hard for.
Yeah, because you were trained to be a lawyer, didn't you? You studied to be a lawyer.
Yeah. Well, no, I was about to start. So I said, don't worry about it, guys. I can do university in Maiden Chelsea. And obviously, I just didn't go to any lectures. And it's worked out so well. But God, it wasn't part of the plan.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow. But how did you cope with that? Were you sort of like, I think, because you're always so much, you are yourself, you never claim to be anybody else. You think that helped you?
Yeah, definitely it did. And I think I also wasn't gagging for storylines. And I think when you get yourself in a position like that, you can show so much of your life that can be quite damaging. And I figured that out quite early on. I never really dated on camera. I keep my private life incredibly private. Mm. And I think that's okay to straddle both camps. You know, I'm a very public person, but I'm not public property.
Yeah,
and I think that really helped me to guard myself. Mm-hmm. And I think also to be able to start as young as I did and still, you know, 7 years later, I feel healthy and happy about being in the public eye. Because I haven't given everything.
Yeah, it's very smart to have done that. And it also shows great maturity because so many, one thing that looking back with Trini and I'm so grateful that we had our success later, you know, when we were in our 30s, because it would have been a very different story. And also I think if you're a person who is in the public eye, it's how you put yourself out there. So if you can be Beyonce and walk down the street and no one will notice you if you're not giving out that vibe.
Yeah, it's true.
But if you are, then you're going to get hassled.
Yeah, I agree. But also, you know, there have been points at which where it has been exhausting trying to guard, you know, the people around me and my private relationships. And I look at other people in a similar position to me and I think, God, you know, I actually want to just be honest and say what's going on, but then I take a step back and I'm like, no, this is your thing. Yeah. Keep it a little bit for me.
Yeah. Because you must have, I mean, I, you know, your kind of allegiance to the Tory party and to Boris, and you are known as Boris in a bikini after.
Yeah.
Don't quite know where that comes in. And for, you know, your desire for Rees-Mogg, that, you know, already it's so almost un-PC to be a Tory, isn't it?
Yeah, and it really, really is. And I made a bit of a pact with myself. This kind of, it was in the year leading up to Going in the Jungle. I want to be as authentic as I can be. And I think there are a lot of people in the public eye who are like, oh, no, I'm not getting involved in that. But I just think if you want to like someone, you know, I get a lot of tweets saying, I can't believe I like Georgia Toffolo and she's a Tory. I love that because I'm like, at least I'm bloody honest. I'm not,
exactly.
I'm not trying to be a fictional character. Yeah. I'm just me. But I think, looking back, I probably shouldn't have been so outspoken. But
no, I think, Toph, that is part of your charm. And, you know, we can all have our own beliefs and people can choose to judge you or not.
Yeah. I mean, with a nickname like Toph, what do they expect?
You don't stand a fucking chance, let's face it. You are doomed right from the start.
So bad.
So how did life change after winning the jungle?
It was insane. It was like, because when I went in there, I thought that everyone would just really dislike me. And I kind of got through every day thinking, well, I'm the young one. That's why I'm getting through. And then I got to the final. I was like, this is bizarre. And then I came out and it was the way that people behaved towards me I really didn't like. It was as though I was, you know, so far above everyone else. And they were treating me as though I was this precious thing. I was like, literally, I'm really relaxed. Yeah. And I think I had a taste of it before with Made in Chelsea, but it's next level, you know. Yeah. You can't really compare the two TV programmes. You're getting like 20 times more viewers in the jungle.
Yeah, I did go out first, though, and you won slightly.
We did both ends of the spectrum.
Exactly.
What year did you do it?
Oh, fuck, I can't remember. I really can't. I think it was about 7 years ago.
Yeah, I thought so.
I genuinely can't remember. I did kind of love it, but
yeah,
I can imagine. I know exactly. Well, I do know what you mean. It makes you feel vulnerable. I would imagine to feel that you're being treated to everyone else.
Yeah, that was it. And I just love, like, there are sides of my personality. I'm just bloody normal.
Yeah,
and it really went against, you know, that. And I worked myself into the ground for a year because I was like, there's an opportunity. I have to grab it. This is amazing. Yeah. And I just, it was not the right thing to do. And now I'm so much happier. I look back on that year and I just think, I couldn't even, you know, do a telephone interview without thinking, bloody hell, what am I doing? I don't know what I'm talking about. Because it was just so overwhelming.
So how would you change it? Well, you just felt you did too much publicity.
Yeah, definitely. I think I was just grabbing every opportunity, which was great. But I think I should have just streamlined it do the stuff that I love, but now finally I've got to that place, but I wish I'd have done it earlier.
But then you had to capitalize on the moment.
I suppose
I think
so, yeah.
You know, I think, what else would you have done? I think you did the right thing.
Yeah, and everyone does it.
Yeah, everyone fucking does it.
Yeah.
Okay, so my darling, so your roots are beginning to show a little bit, I noticed.
A little bit.
So how comfortable are you being, do people think of you as like sort of Reese Witherspoon, ditzy blonde, and she so isn't that at all.
Yes.
Smart woman, which you are too. But do you ever get thought of as a ditzy blonde?
All the time. And I've just spent my whole TV career trying to show that I'm not. And actually, sometimes it's fine to go with the ditzy blonde thing. I don't have to go out and prove to everyone that I've got a brain.
Yeah, but also, I think you can use that to your advantage.
Yeah.
It's kind of like having an alter ego, because underneath, you are super smart. And that's like your secret weapon. You put stuff out as being this ditzy blonde, and then you can nail them with a comment and, you know, those brain cells that you've got.
Yeah, and I think it's okay to be a bit of both, because I think I am a bit scatty and, you know, always in the Daily Mail comments, like airhead. And I'm like, maybe you're right, kind of. But at the same time, you know, I can be multidimensional and surprise people, which I think is cool. And I also am a real advocate for, you know, like when I was in the jungle prancing around in a bikini with my long blonde hair that I had then, and then sitting down with Stanley and talking, you know, about political ideology. And I think that's a really cool thing to be, particularly when loads of young girls look at me. I think you can do both.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. So, darling, have you ever had, this is called My Wardrobe Malfunction, and I imagine with you. Okay, what has been your worst wardrobe malfunction?
I think it's got to be, I was in LA covering the Oscars for this morning.
Cool. And
it was my big moment. What, darling?
Which TV show, which channel?
Oh, this morning.
Fantastic.
But ITV, it was amazing. It was like a massive mega job. And I was wearing this Alexandra, is it Alexandra Rich or Rich?
Alexandra Rich.
So it's crossed over here. It was so beautiful. And it had these beautiful cream arms, and there was a bit of shoulder showing, and we've been up all night because of the time difference with the UK, and I was so tired, and right at the end of the shot I punched my arms in the air and both of the arms just came off, both of them, of this like £4,000 rented dress. It was so bad.
Was that on camera? Did it happen
all on camera? Yeah, all on camera.
I've got to try and find that. That's so good.
It was very funny. And then I got back to London. We had to return it to this dress rental company. My poor assistant sat there going, I know it'll be okay. I'm sure I can get them back on.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That's when it's a kind of public one and on television, that's pretty bad. But, you know, you just got to go with the flow, haven't you?
I thought it was really funny.
Yeah, exactly. Who cares? It's just clothes. So, my darling, what's next for you? What are your kind of aspirations?
I think the big one for me is my writing. Okay. I really love it. And I have been writing fiction for the first time.
Okay.
And I basically went begging to all these publishers to take my idea. Most of them were like, no, you're in that kind of dimension where you write a autobiography and that's it. You write a biography about yourself and that's done. But anyway, someone took a chance on me, and my first fiction novel is coming out in October.
No. So who did you which publisher did you go with?
So HarperCollins, but I've written it for Mills.
Same as
Booth.
Me. I'm
no.
HarperCollins too, yeah.
Not so exciting. Yeah. So I'll have to send you a copy of mine. It's called Meet Me in London. And Yeah, it's just about millennial friendships and love. But because it's Mills and Boone. Do you know Mills and Boone?
I do remember.
You know, back in the glory days. It's a little bit naughty.
Okay. All right. I can handle that.
Yeah, it's a little bit. And so that's my next big thing.
Good for you. And that's, you know, what's the beauty of that? Because I discovered, right, well, I've always written, but just writing fiction is, I get such a sense of liberty and freedom from doing it. And the fact that, and I think when you've done shows like you've done and you're surrounded by people constantly, It's the one thing that is yours.
Yeah, without the massive crew that mostly they do all the heavy lifting normally.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, perhaps that's why I'm so excited. I just hope it's not a bloody flop. I think it's brilliant. But maybe.
Let's talk about books.
My favourite thing to do.
Okay, picture this. So you're going to the Booker Prize.
Yeah.
Because what's your novel called again?
Meet Me in London.
Meet Me in London has been nominated for the Booker Prize, and quite likely you're going to win. What are you going to wear?
I wear a cute little cream boucle skirt with a pair of pointed stilettos.
Sounds hideous, yeah.
From Office, yeah, I would. I know exactly what I'd wear. And I'd wear a cardigan tucked in with pearl buttons from Zara with a headband.
So I need to come and get you, straighten you out a bit. Okay,
and I would feel fantastic.
This is the granny chic, isn't it? This is the granny chic.
Yeah, it's my little thing that I know nips in and makes me feel nice.
Okay, well then, that's yours. That's what you've got to wear.
And I've got to visualise that so it happens.
Yeah, I can visualise it too. Mm-hmm. All right, my darling. Well, listen, it's been such a joy.
I've loved it.
And my mood has gone from 0 to 10, so thank you for that.
Mine too.
Thank you so much, darling, for doing this. I've
loved it. It's little things like this that give my structure. Oh, he's just the sweetest. He really hasn't been very well, you know.
Little angel.
He's called Monty.
Oh, Monty. Oh, my God. Ez, you got to come and see Monty. Look at this little Monty.
Hi.
Hello.
Say hello, oh, darling boy.
So sweet.
Yeah. He's so
sweet. He's not very well.
Oh. He's really unwell. Normally he'd be climbing all over.
Oh my God.
This, but I don't know what it is. Funny tummy, sick. Yeah. And he just was up all night whimpering. So weird, but I've had the vet out, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know what it is, but I'm sure he'll be all right.
Yeah. All right, my gorgeous girl. Well, listen, you have a lovely day, darling, and thank you. And
it was wonderful.
My gorgeous, thank you. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.